Good evening. It's time for us to start our final class in here on this subject, making things right when things go wrong. These are the lessons that we've talked about so far in our class together, our time together, the importance of attitude and the various things that are important as far as checking and going through these things when things go wrong. And again, we've talked about this as being a resource, each one kind of being its own standalone thing, not one not being a series of steps of any kind, but you figuring out what's going to work best for you, because we're all dealing with things in different ways and struggling through things in different processes. Our last one kind of goes back to the concept of looking at attitude or mindset, and we're going to be talking about victimization. When things go wrong, do we play the victim? What is self-victimization? Have you heard of this before? Have you heard of somebody playing the victim? I think we've seen it. You've seen the child in the supermarket that throws themselves on the floor, right? Because they want the toy. And the parent hasn't set up firm boundaries and gives in. Who won? Who won in that round? 0.1 to child, probably 0.300 at that point to child in that moment. Boundaries weren't set up, and the child won. That is self-victimization, and you see it in its earliest stages. And it's obviously an unhealthy mindset if that is what we're doing in adulthood. If we're continuing to use victimization as an excuse, it's no longer cute. It's never been cute, and it's not something that's going to be healthy for us. Those who use self-victimization, they seek to feel persecuted in order to gain attention and avoid self-responsibility. This mentality is convinced everything is beyond their control, or is a deliberate attack on them personally. Everything's an attack. Like if right now you think this class is about you, it's not, or maybe it is. That's what I'm saying, like they are the center of everything. It's not a deliberate attack. And there's this constant blame, finger pointing, pity parties, pessimism, fear, anger, and you kind of get the big picture. Victim mentality is an acquired personal trait. It's not something that you're born with, just like any other personal trait or mentality, like depression or anxiety, those kind of things, those were learned mechanisms. They are not something that you are born with. Victim mentality is something that we either as a child are conditioned into that. We've been taught that way. We have parents that don't have firm boundaries, and it works, and so we continue to use it because it's worked for us. Or there has been trauma in the past, but we haven't processed out of that trauma, and it's become an identity to our ego. And so there's a lot of different ways, but we never grow out of using the poor me strategy. When we don't grow out of that, we don't mature out of that, then we are our own worst enemy in that aspect. Sometimes these things, again, grow into where there's family members that haven't set up firm boundaries and are just, you know, they'll give in because they don't want to deal with the drama. And again, it continues to perpetuate, to be a victim. So it's that same spoiled child mentality, but just an adult mindset. And, you know, of course, there comes a time when we have to take responsibility for our actions or our part in anything that goes on. Now, there are circumstances that come up that it wasn't our fault. Things happened that were not our fault, but we still have to deal with them, right? We still need to process them, we still need to go through them. We're going through this concept of checking our victimization. Here's a few examples of some victims. These particular victims are famous victims. 14 times in the Old Testament, they played the victim. It didn't really help them at all. In Exodus, we have Exodus 14:11. This is the Hebrews. They've come out of captivity. I mean, think about this. They've come out of captivity. They're no longer slaves, right? Get this. They're no longer slaves. They're on their own. They can forge their own path with God, right? So much empowerment there. But here is what they say. They say to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness?" Can you hear? Because the drama just drips off these passages, right? "What have you done to us?" Do you see that? Who's the victim here? Did they march their little feet out of Egypt themselves? Yes. Yes, they did. They're not taking ownership of their part in what they did in this process. They could have stayed. But you brought us out of here to die, out here to die. So that's one of them. We're not going to go through all 14. But here's another one that's rather interesting. In Exodus 16, "And the people of Israel said to them, 'Wouldn't that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full.'" You see the draw, like this? Do you guys read it that way? Am I the only one that reads it that way? Like that? What's that? Very ungrateful. Like, they would rather stay there and make mud bricks than be out on their own. Now, just the background of this, God, it took a generation to get captivity out of these people. It took a generation to get these people in the mindset they can do this on their own with God. That's another lesson. He says, "You have brought us out of the wilderness to kill us, the whole assembly, with hunger." It's a lot of drama. A lot of drama there. Another one, fast forward a few years to Elijah. Look over in 1 Kings chapter 18. We'll be here for a little bit. 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning of verse 20. 20 through 40. Do you guys know the story about Elijah and the standoff between the prophets of Baal? Love this story. Love this story. So there's sarcasm. There's all kinds of different stuff in this story. Love it. Okay, so they're going to do this standoff, right? What was the standoff? What were the agreed upon terms? Do you remember? Two sacrifices. We're going to set up two altars. And Elijah let them go first. "You plead to your God, and if he could sets this on fire and consumes his, then he's God, Baal. But if God does it, then he's Lord," right? And so they're over there hooting, hollering, and wailing, and Elijah is making fun of them. Like, maybe scream louder. Maybe he's on a trip. And then the actual Hebrew is like, maybe he's in the restroom. Maybe he's like, so it's like he's really, really, you know, poking at them. And they're cutting themselves and doing all kinds of stuff, trying to make it happen. Nothing happens. And then Elijah, of course, all the water and everything, and prays to God, and just in my imagination of this, like, there's this like tower of fire that just rains down this altar, right, and just consumes everything, stone everything, right? There is zero like guesswork as to who won this round, right? And what did they do after that with these 400 prophets, 450 prophets? Yes, they took them down and they killed them all. Elijah killed them all. They were dead, right? Dead. And after that, in the same chapter, he calls the thunder. It hadn't rained for a while, it had been a drought, and he calls the thunder in. And there's that the big storm coming in. And he says, "Hey, do you see the cloud coming?" He says, "Yeah, but it's really small." And he bows down again and he brings the thunder. And then he runs. God gives him the power. It says, the text says, he girds up his loins and he runs. He beats Ahab to Jezreel, right? Running on foot. Ahab's in a chariot. He beats him there and he's like, you know, just kind of waiting on Ahab. He's like, "Hey, what's up, man?" As it comes in, like he ran ahead of him. That's where Elijah is, right? Chapter 19. Enter Jezebel. Now, I understand, right, I'll give benefit of the doubt, there are some ladies that are kind of scary, right? But Jezebel says, "I'm going to kill you. That, you know, be unto me, but that you don't die by this time tomorrow. The gods do to me are worse if you don't die by this time tomorrow," in chapter 19, verse 2. And what he just smoke-checked all these guys, he's just, you know, done all these great things by the power of God. He could have stood up and said, "I do not banty words with you." Like, he could have had that kind of mentality, right? Could, like, right? That could have been where he was. But what did he do? He ran. He was picking them up and putting them down. Like, he's in Israel, right? In Israel, northern tribes. He runs down to Beersheba, far south as you can go, leaves his servant there, and then goes into the wilderness. Okay? He goes into the wilderness in chapter 19. He was afraid, verse 3, and he scoots. In verse 4, he says he's under the juniper tree. Right? There's a lot of them out there. He's under a random juniper tree. And he says, "Is it enough now, O Lord, that take my life, for I am not better than my father's?" Now, this is irrational fear, right? This is irrational fear. If he had wanted to die, he could have just stayed where he was. Jezebel was going to do that, right? Jezebel was going to kill him if he had just stayed where he was, if he wanted to die. But this is irrational fear. And he runs, and then he's given food by the angels, arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. And then he goes out to Horeb, the mountain of God. And what is it that God says to him in chapter 19? Twice in chapter 19, there's this back and forth between God and Elijah. What is it that God says? What's the question God has for him? What are you doing here? Is that not an accurate question to ask somebody when they're in kind of in this? What are you doing here? Right? What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here, Elijah? What's going on? What is Elijah's response? Twice he says this. There's just back and forth twice. "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, so they seek my life to take it away." Spoken like a true victim. What does God tell him? "I've got 7,000. You're not the only one. Right, you can take that badge off, right? You're not the only one. I've got 7,000 more that haven't kissed, haven't bowed the knee. And you've got work to do. Right? There's things you need to do." And he goes and does it, and he gets better. Right? We don't know all the details about Elijah. We don't know about what was going on in his life and that kind of stuff. If he's bipolar, we don't know anything about that. But here's somebody who was just on fire for God and doing these things. And then somebody says, "I'm going to kill you," and he's gone. I want to highlight the fact that at some point, maybe all of us have used or meddled with the concept of victimization. I know I have, especially when projects come up and you watch a YouTube channel version of it, right? And they just, you know, all the bolts and nuts just come off perfectly and everything is so clean and nice. And then you go to do it. And some Herculean plumber had put on whatever this was, right? And you've got to take it off now, right? So nothing goes right. And it's like, "Oh, poor, everything goes wrong when I try and do it." Like, it happens. But when we look at this, we need to understand that it can happen to any one of us. And there's reasons why we might play the victim. One of those is not having to take responsibility for anything. The victim, "It's not my responsibility. Somebody else did this to me," right? That's the mindset. It's also other people lavishing you with attention. How do victims get attention? They tell their story, right? They tell their story, and people come like, "Oh, I'm so sorry you're dealing with that," and the victim meter is going like that's what they want. That's what they want. Other people feel sorry for you. You've got other people are less likely to criticize or upset you. "Oh, don't say anything to them, right? They've been through so much." You have the right to complain. Let's back that. Does anybody have the right to complain? No, they don't. Nobody has the right to complain. But the victim feels that they have the right to complain because they've been through more than anybody else, right? So the right to complain. You're more likely to get what you want because it's worked in the past. We've talked about that, you know, kind of children growing up. People give in because they don't want to deal with the drama and they don't want to deal with whatever this is today, and so they'll give in. And so it works. You get what you want. You feel interesting because you get to tell people all of your stories. Have you ever called somebody up and you're just ready to get a list of ailments? You call somebody up just to see how they're doing. It's like, oh, let me tell you what's been going on. And then you get like the whole list. I feel like I should get like a, like in, well, maybe I won't say that. I will say that sometimes I feel like we overshare on announcements, right? I'll leave it there. But you understand what I'm saying. So we get a list of ailments. You don't have to feel bored because there's too much drama going on, right? That's a plus. There's so much going on that you don't have to feel bored. You got that going for you. And you get to avoid and bypass anger because you're too busy feeling sad. So these are things that might help keep us in the victim mindset. Victims are emotionally invested in perpetuating this type of behavior because of the rewards that come from it. I am not saying that somebody is sitting there who has victim mentality and is on purpose necessarily trying to do this. This is, a lot of this is subconscious. That's just their coping mechanism. They might not even know they're doing it. That's just what they've always done. So in most cases, people aren't doing it because of this. But playing the victim actually gives a lot of power to the individual. They have a power to avoid responsibility because it's not my responsibility. It's happened to me. All these things happened to me. I played no part in whatever this event was. They have the power to feel righteously sad and persecuted. Oh, I've done so much for people and they just don't respect me. I've done so much for the Lord. Have you heard that? That righteous piety, the fake piety. Oh, I'll suffer through this. That's victim mentality. That's getting the attention, and then all their people gather around them and say, "Oh, you're just such a good Christian. You're suffering through that." Now there are circumstances where a person is actually suffering. I'm not taking away or belittling that. But when we read through the New Testament and we see that when we're suffering or we're going through things, is that something that in the New Testament you see people going around and telling the whole world about their suffrage so that they can get the attention? Do you see that in the New Testament? Like in the New Testament, when you're going through something, who's the first person you talk to about it? I'm taking this to God first, right? And we're going to do what we can. We're empowered to do what we can work on this thing. We've talked about this in our other classes on this subject. But if I'm just spreading to the masses all the ailments, all the things that are going on in my life, then maybe I need to think about, why am I doing that? What is this person going to do with this piece of information? Right? I'm telling somebody about these things. What am I hoping will happen? Why does this person need to know this? So we need to be asking those questions. And then other parts of this is the power to manipulate. The power to manipulate. And that's kind of leads us kind of to the dark side of victim mentality when we look at these things, is that the majority of people who play the victim do so unconsciously, unintentionally, as we mentioned before. It's part of who they are. There's an unconscious craving to control others through their sympathies. It's really the only way for the mind to reinforce its belief that I am the victim, this ego identity, I am the victim. People need to recognize me as a victim. It's that mentality that people are wanting. And so the victim role there'll be a lot of manipulation, a lot of string pulling. People in relationships or friendships with people who are these victims often report feeling like puppets because they're molded into whatever the victim believes that they want them to believe or want them to do, right? The victim says, this is how I need to feel, and the victim says, this is how I feel you should respond to my situation. Well, you need to cry, you need to respond a little bit more to me in this way, or you need to do this. And so the victim begins to manipulate with that. There's also playing the victim is often used as abusive by abusive or sociopathic people. How would this work? How would playing the victim be used by those who are abusive or narcissistic or sociopaths. What do they do? Yes. 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 Yeah, I mean, there is a point. I mean, there's a whole lot of degrees on this, right? There is a child that just wants what they want, right? And there are people who just, and there are, you know, the very dark side of this where we start talking about narcissists and sociopaths and that kind of stuff. Abusive relationships will use victimization as well. And yes, in that case, they're using it as a weapon. They're using it as a tool to manipulate that relationship and have a hold on those people in that relationship. So in an abusive relationship, you stand up for yourself, and then the abuser is going to say, or if they're confronted about it, they might use the excuse that they're always have to put up with this other person. And so they have a reason why they're abusing them. Why do I have to put up with them? They're lousy. He's a lousy husband, or she's a lousy wife, and she burns a toast, and she can't do anything right, and so I can verbally abuse, mentally abuse this person because they're just a horrible person. And so you see that mindset. They're playing the victim, but using that against the other person. Or if somebody is this really a monster in a relationship and you tell them so, then they're going to go back to that one time that they were nice. The one time they remember that one time I did this for you? You're so ungrateful. How dare you call me that? I'm not a monster. When really they are, they're horrible people. They're horrible. And they're using that one instance to emotionally manipulate you, to keep you in hold, enthralled with that. And they're using victimization. They're the victim in this scenario. It is control. It's very much control. And so this, again, this is the very dark side, the back side of the moon on this side of, there's all kinds of, like so, as we said, there's all different spectrum on this. But I also want to point out, there's no one type of person who's going to play the victim. Young or old, and everybody in between, even people who are spiritually minded may at some point play the victim. I mean, depending on what's going on, there is nobody exempt from, like, well, these people typically don't. No, it's across the board, and we've seen it a lot. We've seen it in a lot of different ways, but victim mentality is out there, and it's something that I think that if we're aware of and can help kind of deal with these things. We're going to go through some signs of victim mentality, and we're going to go through a few of them. I'm not going to dwell on any one of them too long, because we have quite a list, and this is not a situation where, well, if I don't hit all 23, then I'm fine, right? No, you can hit a few of these and be on the spectrum of maybe of playing the victim. So this is, again, just kind of us to be aware. But if you're constantly blaming other people for situations or for feeling miserable, that may be part of it. You possess a life is against me philosophy. Everybody's against me. You're a cynical or pessimistic. You see problems and catastrophes and blow them out of proportion. Have you met that person? And you think others are purposely trying to hurt you. You believe you're the only one being targeted for mistreatment. It's just me. Everybody's against me. The teacher hates me. Right? It's not that I don't turn in the work. It's not that I'm living up to expectations. It's not that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. It's because the teacher hates me. You keep reliving past painful memories and using that to relive being a victim. Even when things are right, you find something to complain about. Have you met that person? They're really fun to be around, right? Super fun. You refuse to consider other perspectives when talking about your problems. Oh, nope, I'm right. This is the only way. This is the only thing that could possibly be happening. You feel powerless and unable to cope effectively with a problem or life in general. You feel attacked when you're given constructive criticism. You believe you're not responsible for what happens in your life. Others are. Everybody else is responsible for whatever happened. Not me. I'm not responsible. You believe everyone is better off than you. The grass is greener and everybody else's lawn. Not mine. You seem to enjoy feeling sorry for yourself. Like everybody's going to get an earful when you're at the party about what's going on in your life. You attract people like you who complain, blame, feel victimized. That would be an interesting kind of, what do you think is going to happen there? That's just like just a self-feeding circle, right? They're just going to just, I bet they just want you to wind each other up in that scenario. And yes, pity party, there's like hors d'oeuvres and everything. It's amazing. You believe that the world is scary, mostly bad place. And so we stay inside. We don't go out. We wear five masks when we go anywhere. You enjoy sharing your tragic stories with other people. You have a habit of blaming, attacking, and accusing those you love for how you feel. That's their fault. I feel this way. If you would just do something different. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. You feel powerless to change your circumstances. And you expect to gain sympathy from others. When you don't get it, you feel upset. Well, they don't understand what I'm going through. They didn't feel adequately sad for me when I was going through this scenario. So that's a victim mentality. You refuse to analyze yourself or improve your life. Why are we not going to make a change? Where do I get joy? Where do I get my bucket filled up? From everybody going, oh, poor you, right? So if I change that, that goes away, right? That changes. You tend to one-up people when it comes to sharing traumatic experiences. Now, this is different than a bunch of guys sitting around talking about like stupid stuff they've done, right? That happens. That's sometimes just a guy thing. Yeah, like I've got a scar this big or whatever. Oh, mine's this big. I remember when I was a kid, we talked about how hard our daddy spanked. Oh, my dad spanks this hard. Did y'all talk about that? Just me? Okay. That's like hashtag raising the church. Okay. So, there's those kind of things. But that's normal. But in this circumstance, like you're doing it because I want the attention. I want what's going to come with that. Oh, that you had a bad day, right? Let me tell you about mine. Or you're constantly as well putting yourself down. That's self-deprivation because it's to get again that the attention to bring it. Oh no, you're not that bad. You really are a great person. Oh, I'm just horrible. Nobody loves me. Oh no, nobody would say that about you. You've seen that. Like how many TV stories? How many things have you seen where that plays? Yeah, plays all the time. That's victim mentality. All right. How do I stop being a victim? How do I stop being a victim? Start replacing you with I. What does that do? Not you make me, not a song, not the you make me concept, but the I feel this whenever I hear. So you change the, you flip the story around and you take responsibility for whatever's going on. You see yourself as a survivor. Destiny's Child had it right on this one, okay? Destiny's Child had it right. This would be a theme song if you're trying to change your life around and not be a victim anymore. A victim argues with life. A survivor embraces it. A victim dwells in the past. A survivor lives in the present. A victim believes they're helpless. A survivor takes back control over their life. Be kind and compassionate to yourself. Be careful about becoming a victim and develop a respectful attitude to yourself or a right concept of self, and then seek help if you need to. That's taking care of yourself as well. Explore your mistaken beliefs. What would be a mistaken belief that might lead us into victimization? What's that? Everybody's after me, right? Everybody's like gunning for me. Is that true? No, that's a mistaken belief that everybody's after me. Any kind of thing as far as self-concept that would be bringing us down, our self-identity, yes. It's not in my control, just this why I can't do anything about it. Really? Nothing? You can't do anything. There's nothing you can do. Right? So those kind of things, are misconceptions, mistaken beliefs about ourselves that would change. We need to change those things. Ask, what thought is creating this suffering? What leads me down this path? What white rabbit am I following into self-victimization in doing these things? Practice being thankful. What does being thankful do? That's a positive thing. We sing a song, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Why? You've been to see what the Lord's doing in your life. You see that your life isn't what you've created this concept around. Your life isn't as bad as you think it might be. Again, affirm self-responsibility. Start to notice all the ways you bypass self-responsibility. Be ruthlessly honest. Examine how gaining sympathy from others makes you feel special and continues the cycle of pointing fingers at others. So examine, take real, honest, in-depth insight. And that's difficult. And sometimes we need a guide. But again, changing our concept about self and about responsibility. In performing acts of kindness, and we kind of talked about this before, but when we play the victim, who are we focused on? Me. But if I start helping other people, where's my focus? It's out, right? So that really change, that'll lift our head up out of just kind of the slump we're in and moving on. All right, we're going to look at some things, what not to do. What not to do with a self-proclaimed victim. This is somebody who plays that victim. Don't get sucked into their feelings. Handling those who struggle with victim complex can be very, very tricky because direct confrontation just reinforces the concept that they're a victim. Like if you came up to them and said, stop being a victim, you just need to do this. Oh, they attacked me. And they'll run off to their support group that they set up that feeds them, and they're a victim again, right? So that doesn't work. But don't get sucked into their feelings. Victims are sometimes unconsciously seeking attention and validation, but when you give them that, then you're pulled into that story. You've now become somebody that feeds that battery. Don't feed it. So if something's going on and they tell you this story about everything, I'm sorry that's happened, and you move on, right? And start talking about something else. Change the subject. Don't react to every false accusation you hear. They make these claims about, oh, this happened to me, and you know it didn't happen to them, or at least to that degree, right? The animal you hit on the road wasn't that big, didn't destroy your car, right? Whatever it is. Don't react to it. Don't call them out. Just ignore it. It just makes it worse if you react to it. Don't give advice. Guess why? They don't want to hear it. They don't want to fix this. This is going well, right? The victim works for me, so they don't necessarily want to hear that. Don't try and justify yourself or your actions. It's their illusion. You don't need to engage with it. That's their party, right? They're over there and they're doing their thing, and they think this way or that way about you or about somebody. Don't try and do anything. You know what you're doing is right. What you're doing is right. Keep doing what's right, and let them play their own games. Right? Let them play their own mind games. Don't get sucked into that. Don't admit or apologize for anything that you haven't done wrong. Set boundaries there. I did not do that. That is not mine. I'm sorry you feel that way, but that's not mine. Right? Because that's that reaching out and trying to pull you in. That's that reaching out and trying to manipulate you into their storyline. That's not mine. That's yours. And keep that arm up. Continuing with this, don't try to compensate for a self-victimizer's complaints by increasing your own effort. Like if they're complaining because, well, nobody writes me a card anymore, nobody does things, then you start writing a bunch of cards. And you try and fill that void that they feel in their life. Guess what's going to happen? They're going to have another thing that nobody does. It's like whack-a-mole. Have y'all played whack-a-mole? It's like whack-a-mole with the victim, because as soon as you fill that void there for them, and you're putting all that energy into writing the cards or whatever it is, and you've whacked that mole, what happens? Another one pops up, and all of a sudden they're just, because it's not about that thing. It's not about whatever that is. It's about what's in here that's put them in that mindset of being a victim, and that's just what they're saying. That's just what they're trying to get. So don't go out of your way. Don't spin your wheels trying to cover those things. It's not going to work. Don't give a self-victimizer a free ride just because they claim they deserve one. Everyone has to deal with their own stuff. Don't deal with it for them. Let them deal with their own stuff. There's a lot there on that one. Don't retaliate or strike back at someone who casts themselves as a victim, because guess what? You just threw 5 gallons of gasoline on that fire, and it'll be a long time before that burns out. You'll never get that back. And then don't assume that everyone who hears a self-victimizer's complaints believes them. If the self-victimizer is complaining about you, because eventually they will, because you're not feeding into their story, and you're putting up boundaries, and you're being healthy in the relationship, well, they're not getting out of you what they want anymore, so they're going to go over to these people here that they set up as their yes people. It's like, they just don't care anymore. And then their story, they're looking at it, and they're like, oh, he doesn't, like, have faith in people that they'll see through some of that. And if we all would kind of like believe what's best of the other person first, give people the benefit of the doubt when you have somebody that comes up to you and says, well, they're just being, it's like, are they really though? Right? That's a healthy way of looking at this. So the victim is the last thing. Check your victimization. Don't slide down this rabbit hole into this, because it's a long way out. To get back out of this. So when things go wrong, do what you can. We've talked about this before in other classes. Take your part, do your part. Make sure prayer is a part of that. Use friends and those things that are around you as a resource, and move forward. Don't get stuck in whatever that is as your identity. Don't let pain, don't let hurt, don't let circumstances become an identity, because you'll get stuck right there and you won't be able to move on. Any thoughts, questions, comments? Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. This woman you gave me, right? It's the first time we, like, man. There have been marriage issues from the when it started, right? What's that? Yeah. So, yes, it happens. That's like, we slip into that really easy. We got to be careful about that. Any other comments? Thank you very much for your attention. Thank you very much for your time in this class. I appreciate it.